Good afternoon at this stage to Regina Doherty, Minister for Social Protection.
Afternoon, Anya. How are you?
It is bizarre, isn't it, as a government minister, and we'll talk a little bit about your area, pensions and social welfare, in a minute. But what Sean was saying and what Simon Coveney was saying earlier this morning, the huge amount of work, the huge cost, the huge effort, all going into something we desperately hope will never happen.
Yeah, I think you and I had a conversation the other day about one day waking up and common sense prevailing, and each day slips by and I don't think that common sense has reached the surface yet. But it is, Sean just described it as down the rabbit hole, you know, in Alice in Wonderland. It's a totally bizarre situation that we appear to be sleepwalking into something that is only destructive for both the Irish people, the people of Britain, the Europeans. Like, it's just crazy, but anyway, we are where we are, and we have to prepare for the eventuality, whatever that may be, on and after the 29th of March. Much and all, as it breaks our hearts that we have to do it, we have to do it. So.
And the key question, and the one that it seems many people in Brussels, I don't know about you, are increasingly pessimistic about it. The Taoiseach talking there about that March EU Council meeting. It appears the EU will, there will be some language, there will be some wording, not a reopening of the backstop, but there will be something put on the table before the end of March for the UK. I suppose the big question people are increasingly concerned about is, will their Parliament have the capability, the will, to take that and turn it into a yes, or will we end up with no by default because they simply can't agree?
I would hope, given that the soundings from a very large amount of MPs in Westminster, that we wouldn't find ourselves with a no deal by default, because I think there's an intent there that they won't find themselves in a no deal, or they won't allow a no deal happen. But that doesn't mean a deal will happen either. So, you know, the next couple of weeks are going to be tough, if not interesting. I think the statement from both President Juncker and our own Taoiseach in their joint statement to say that the bilateral isn't... the backstop or the insurance policy that we've negotiated isn't a bilateral issue, it's a European issue. But we will move with, you know, varying degrees of language to try and reassure the MPs in Westminster that it is only temporary, that it isn't something that we ever want to invoke. You know, an insurance policy can only be an insurance policy if all other things fail. And what we want to move on is to start talking about what the future relationship, what our future trading deals are going to look like. And we all want that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it seems bonkers that we're having a conversation about how we're going to get to the next bit, which will determine what our future relationship is going to be. That's what we're stuck on. You know, it's incredibly frustrating. But anyway.
Talk to us, Minister, about the changes you're responsible for in this legislation and who that will impact and who you're trying to protect, actually, in this legislation.
Well, so to backtrack a tiny bit, Anya, is that myself and the then Minister for Pensions, a lady called Esther McVeigh, met last March to agree what would have been a bilateral convention that would be part of the withdrawal agreement. And so we've all enjoyed social security benefits, health benefits, educational benefits as part of the common travel area and the common travel arrangements for generations. We agreed last March that we wanted that to continue regardless of what happens, you know, with the relationship with Europe. And we set about drafting a convention. And to be fair to her officials and my officials, they've worked incredibly hard over the last year. And that convention was finalised just before Christmas and was signed on the 1st of February this year by both the UK minister and my own team.
And what does that mean? Because there would be a large number of people. I mean, people have worked backwards and forwards in both areas. There'd be a lot of people.
Hundreds of thousands, yeah. Yes. There's hundreds of thousands. And so what the convention means, and the convention is currently being ratified by both parliaments. And so I was before the Joint Directors Committee yesterday, and we've agreed that we will ratify it in the Irish Parliament, and they will send a message back to the Dáil next week. And so the Irish bit is done. The UK bit is just a slightly little bit more convoluted. They have a 21-day cooling-off period, which they're in the middle of. And that cooling-off period finishes on the 19th of March. And hopefully, they will ratify the convention. And if that programme of work happens, well, then there will be no need for the piece of legislation, my part of the legislation that was launched this morning.
So but hopefully there'll be a bilateral that will protect people's English payments. What about other social welfare entitlements?
The bilateral it covers all of the payments. So anybody that receives any payment from the United Kingdom today living in Ireland or any Irish citizen living in the UK that gets an Irish payment, the day after the 29th of March, they will notice no difference. And so the convention is a bilateral, legally binding agreement that allows both the Irish Parliament and the UK Parliament to continue doing what we've always done, underpinned by legislation. Now, in the event of the convention not passing, because you never know what might happen in the next couple of weeks, we published a piece of legislation this morning. I own Section 11 and Section 12 of the Omnibus Bill that will allow me to continue to do it in the event of there being a no deal. Belts and braces, I suppose, is the nicest way to put it. The convention is a piece of work that we've been working on for the last year to work towards a deal. In the event of there being no deal, I will continue legally to be able to pay Irish people's pensions, job seekers' payments, domiciliary care allowances, any social security that people are enjoying today as a resident of Ireland living in the UK or a resident of the UK living in Ireland will continue on and after the 29th of March.
And as these this omnibus bill goes through the Dáil and Seanad, I noted that Tánaiste was saying it's not party political, this is a work of the whole Oireachtas. Are you open to opposition amendments if they're brought to your attention that they're needed?
It would very much depend on what they're trying to do. And I think my piece of the legislation just absolutely mirrors the convention that was ratified by the Dáil and Seanad Committee
yesterday. So it won't be contentious, you anticipate, in that regard?
I hope not. I don't see why anybody would want to change the current arrangements that people in Ireland enjoy in Britain, the people, British citizens enjoy in Ireland. But obviously, if there are, we'll deal with them next week.
Two other things, because I know, obviously, you've been on the record in terms of your own constituency in opposition to the interconnector. And we know there was the court case this week.
Yeah.
But there will, I mean, the omnibus legislation covers changes to electricity regulations to allow for modifications of licences. Do you accept, whatever happens, however it's delivered, an all-island energy market is going to be needed after Brexit, deal or no deal?
Absolutely, and that's why we started a number of years ago to put in place what is currently an all-Ireland system, because it does make sense. What still doesn't make sense to me is the position of overgrounding the North-South Interconnector, and I think you know that project is beset by its own obstacles, and not just today or yesterday, but since 2007.
But just on the importance of the all-Ireland market, because I know questions have been raised, north and south, about that.
Yeah, it's fundamentally important. So we both rely on each other for different things. And so we have excess energy that we want to sell to the European grid and to the British consumer. They have excess energy that they want to bring to us. So it's vitally important that a small little island that we have in the island of Ireland cooperates on an all-Ireland basis when we're talking about something like efficiency and electricity delivery. So,
and of course, again, you'll be familiar with the concerns of farmers from your constituency. We'll be talking to Joe Healy in just a moment about the aid that's going to be coming from government and for the EU, and it seems there's a clear determination, if you like, to turn on the cash taps to get us over the immediate hump if we're in the business of no deal. But the bigger issue, it's springtime. There are calves, there are lambs that are being born all over the country this spring, and the farmers, they don't know what the future is for that livestock. They don't know what to do with them and how they'll be able to plan their business.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, it's a time of great anxiety. I think that anxiety exists whether we have a deal or a no deal. There's no such thing as a good outcome on the 29th or 30th of March. I very much appreciate, I suppose, the solidarity that's coming from the European Union insofar as allowing us to support our own Indigenous business, and obviously agriculture is an enormous part of that. Clarity, I think, will become clear, for want of a better way of putting that, in the coming weeks as we all prepare. I think we made a decision at Cabinet last week that we will be having a number of Cabinet meetings at the beginning of March to talk about what we will do in the event of a no deal. So things are getting very real.
Yeah, certainly grim, all right. One final note, slightly brighter note, new rights for workers coming into effect on the 4th of March. These are the restrictions, are they, on 0 hours contracts and minimum payments, yes?
They are, and actually this is where we're leading in Europe, and it's lovely to see other European countries following our path. We passed a groundbreaking piece of legislation before Christmas. It's actually coming into force on the 4th of March. It means employers have to give their employees basic terms of their employment contract within the first 5 days. We're banning 0 hour contracts. People who in the past would get called into work and then get sent home with no work will be paid a minimum of 3 hours regardless of whether they work or not. And I think most instrumentally there is now a banded hours of contracts. So people will be able to ask based on an actuality of what they worked in a look back period of 12 months to be placed on a band of hours, a contract of hours that reflects what they actually do as opposed to what was put on a piece of paper. So I think it's groundbreaking and it's very important. We're going to do a campaign, radio ads, digital ads, print ads in the next couple of days to make sure that employers know their obligations towards their employees.
And that workers, if it's coming into effect on the 4th of March, workers can expect to get that information to be able to get those terms and conditions from their employers from the 9th on, is that right?
Absolutely. And I think, again, another part of the legislation is the strong anti-penalisation provision in it, because workers that I've met tell me they're afraid to, you know, stand up for their own rights because of what might happen to them. Well, they won't be afraid anymore because the law will be behind them and on their side.
Thanks for your time this lunchtime, Minister Regina Doherty, the Minister for Social Protection.